You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Nikki Kelvin is the director of content for The Points Guy UK, the UK arm of the leading American travel publication. The platform is incredibly popular for its consumer advice and reviews, but also for its reporting on the travel industry. Nikki has always been an aviation and travel enthusiast, but in fact started his career as a lawyer, eventually landing with the UK's biggest record label, Virgin EMI. He also worked as a photojournalist, but on the side was living out his wildest travel dreams, thanks to his sister who worked as cabin crew for BA. As you'll hear, Nikki became an expert on the most cost-effective ways to travel in style, creating the moniker Miles Mogul, which brought him huge attention for his reporting. It's the incredible story of how a passion and side hustle can lead to a full-time career. These days, during the global pandemic, with everyone not traveling, The Points Guy UK has transitioned its focus to help consumers sort through uncertainty on everything travel-related, but also making sure to communicate how best to support the travel sector for when the skies and national borders open up again. Here now is Nikki.
Well, I think I was always obsessed with aviation. It was my number one love from being a tiny kid. I can remember getting so excited to go to airports and go on planes from being as long as I can remember, really. And that love really ramped up when my sister became cabin crew for British Airways, various airlines actually, but she flew long haul for BA. And I was able to fly around the world incredibly cheaply with her often. And it was just amazing. She then got married, had kids, and ruined my life in the process because I lost the ability to get these really cheap tickets because she put her family on her concessions. And so I had to find another way to try and travel in the style that I'd become accustomed to. And so at that point, I got more and more involved in points and miles and trying to travel luxury on the cheap. And that became a whole other thing of gaming the system, tied up in aviation and travel. It was like everything that I loved and was obsessed with. And I started to tell other people about it because in the UK, at least, we're years behind what was happening in North America. People had been into points and miles for a really long time. And it was less common here. People were scared of Amex cards, didn't understand points and miles. There was not the same community here. And so I started blogging a bit and writing down all the things I'd been telling everybody else. And that sort of picked up some traction. Eventually, I then started making videos. I started doing masterclass talks around the country, telling people how to fly first class for almost free. And through doing all of that stuff, I had an Instagram, made lots of connections in the aviation and the points and miles world, and got to know Brian Kelly, who is the points guy, and various other people. And we'd always said, Brian and I, if they were going to do something in the UK, I'd be the guy on the ground here. And when the points guy finally decided it was time to make this jump into international expansion, I was kind of the person there for Brian to work with to try and bring it to life in the UK. And so that's what we did. And at the time, I'd been running all this stuff with travel and miles and points on the side. But when I had this opportunity to make a real career out of it, I jumped at the chance.
It's a fascinating story because I had no idea how involved people are in this content. They go crazy for it because you can give people tips on what credit cards to get, what points to use, the best, you know, connections to book and all that. And obviously, if people can save money and travel a little bit further, they're going to. Right now, we're in this very strange time, of course, where I think maybe your business revolves around a lot of what ifs, not knowing when people can travel again. But people still have loads of questions for you guys on the platform. What type of stories are you covering now? What type of things are people asking for?
So we've been incredibly busy, actually, because our focus has just shifted to different things. So first of all, we've been covering all the changes, massive changes with cruise liners, airlines, hotel companies, as they're shutting down, as they're offering refunds, vouchers, all those different things. We've been helping our readers decipher what all of that means because it's really complicated. And the worst thing is for our readers and just for the public is that it's hard to contact these companies. You know, in normal times, you're confused about something, you give them a ring and you find out the answers. Well, everybody's doing that. So it's becoming increasingly hard. So we've been providing the service of helping people decipher everything. So, you know, for example, an airline, what routes are they cutting? What are they cancelling? How, and if they are cancelling, are you due a refund? They're trying to give me a voucher. I don't want a voucher. I want a cancellation. What, I want a refund. What are my rights? So we help passengers understand what their rights are. And even when they know what their rights are, what do you do then? You know, the airline or the hotel company still won't give me my money back. Well, what do we advise? What do we advise people? People are asking us, help us navigate that next part. So that's one whole thing of what we're talking about. We are now looking to the future. So although we're not advising, obviously not travel now, we think, I've been saying, perhaps it is safe to start thinking about booking travel at the very end of this year or into 2021. So we've just started now talking about some really great deals that are popping up for next year. And we're also helping people use the vouchers that they might have got from companies. You know, you might be sat on this voucher, you don't know how to use it in the best way. And maybe by using it now, you've got the best opportunity of getting something really great. For example, lots of frequent flyer programs are opening up their award availability massively because nobody's flying, they've got no bookings. So one of the ways we're helping is identifying where those gaps are and how people can use their points and miles. So yeah, and we're still covering lots of other stuff. So lots of health and flying stuff, breaking news from the aviation world. It's busy times at Point Sky.
You know, obviously people aren't traveling just now, but the minute this lockdown ends, I feel that people are going to be scrambling to get places to travel, to enjoy summer holidays, let's hope. But going forward, I wonder if there will be sort of a lasting impact in the way that we do travel, in the way that we do book. Are you seeing anything out there right now, or is there anything sort of you're keeping your eye on?
I think this is one of the most fascinating things, and I keep thinking about it all the time. What is travel going to look like? And my mind keeps swinging between two things. The first one is, are people going to be worried and not want to travel internationally? You know, they don't want to catch anything. They don't want to get stuck abroad, because we're seeing, you know, reports of people, although this is getting better and repatriation flights have ramped up now. But, you know, if something else happens and I'm in India, I don't want to be stuck in India. I want to be able to get home. So those like more long haul, exciting travels, like potentially people be more worried to do it. Like you say, on the flip side, and I'm in this camp, I can't wait to get back out there. And I think you're going to see a lot of people who are like, they've been putting off that dream trip to whatever it is, Patagonia, or they want to do the Trans-Siberian Railway, or they're going to go to New Zealand or South Africa for a safari. Those big dream trips, I think you could definitely see a big group of people who are like, now, need to travel now before something else happens, and there could be a big increase in that. So yeah, it's a two-sided thing. The other thing to think about is the world is going to open up at a very different pace. So I think there'll be places in the world we will not be able to go in the next year. You know, who knows when Micronesia decides to open its borders? Who knows when New Zealand decides to open its borders? And so you might see hotspots of places where rules are relaxed and people are able to get away, especially, you know, Brits who want to go and get some sun, for example. The places that open up first are going to be the ones that are busy. And we're already seeing reports that the lockdown might be lifted in Turkey earlier than places, and they're encouraging people to book holidays to Turkey. If Greece and Spain and Italy and France are all still locked down, well, Turkey's going to be the hotspot. What that might mean from a health perspective is yet to be seen, because that's quite concerning as well, if you have people piling into the same places.
You know, we talked off air a little bit about the lasting impact on security after 9/11. And I wonder, after something, you know, as long and as hard hitting as this for the industry financially, but also in general fear for people traveling and their health and safety, if there might be some sort of impact that we'll see going forward.
Absolutely. So on the health side, so what we've mentioned was you saw massive shifts in how security was dealt with after 9/11 across the world. And I think you'll see a similar reaction with health measures. So actually, when you fly in Asia, for example, for years, like I can remember walking through temperature measures. Anyone who's traveled in Asia will be used to seeing that. And it tends to be like a thermal camera set up, monitoring everybody walking past. And I'm not honestly sure how successful those have been in catching people who are not well. But I think there'll be big advancements in technology to help identify people who are unwell and might be spreading viruses. So some examples at the moment, which is really interesting, Emirates is rolling out a plan where they're going to be doing rapid coronavirus tests for people. So it'll be in the airport, it's a blood test, a prick blood test. They test for coronavirus and you get a result in 10 minutes and issue a certificate if you have or don't have the virus. Etihad are taking a bit of a softer approach, and they have this system, or rolling out a system for checking kiosks where you have your heart rate, temperature and respiration checked. And so it will just identify people that have issues as opposed to diagnosing any sort of disease. But if you imagine a world where all airlines, all airports are doing this, you're just sure to be finding rooting out some of the issues and reducing risk. The other thing is enforcing social distancing. So we're already seeing airlines like EasyJet, Delta have also done it, where they're blocking middle seats in economy cabins, trying to keep people away from each other on board. You might see a continuation of that. So, you know, that might become the norm, that you don't sit 6 inches away from people anymore. So it'd be really interesting to see what other things people come out with. Emirates are also making their passengers wear face masks on board. So maybe that kind of thing is going to continue. Ultimately, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, if you're Delta or EasyJet and you know you can sell that, all those middle seats, and you're losing out on whatever it is, 30% of your capacity or selling tickets, is that going to hold? Who knows? I think, you know, cash might become king when people have forgotten how bad the situation was.
Nikki, just lastly, I'd love to hear about the opportunity perhaps airlines have in this moment, and travel companies in general, to build on brand and loyalty. Because, you know, I've seen some great emails from the CEOs of BA and Air Canada and Air Transat and others, and you feel for them. Obviously, a lot of their workers are furloughed or gone or laid off. There will be a huge impact, but at the end of the day, they have a service that we love. Travel, you know, for me is a luxury, and flying is still somewhat of a miracle that we can go to all these places. So I wonder if there's an opportunity for them to step up in that capacity.
Absolutely. And again, you know, you're seeing big differences in how airlines are dealing with this sort of issue. So I think it's amazing how many personalized emails directly from CEOs that are dropping into your inbox, that are going out to millions of people. That's something that, you know, we're not used to that. The CEO of all these like huge companies who are getting in touch directly with their frequent flyers or their passengers, customers. The main way that the airlines are trying to put their brand ahead of others is by giving out these treats to frequent flyers. And I think we're already seeing a hit on some airlines that are not doing as good as some of the other ones are doing. But there's loads of other stuff going on. You know, for example, lots of furloughed air crew in the UK, at least, are being put forward as volunteers for the NHS, and they're helping out with different stuff. There's a project at the moment to set up first class lounges in hospitals where doctors and nurses can go and have a rest, go and have afternoon tea or a cup of coffee and be served by these grounded air crew. And I think airlines being involved in projects like that at the moment are, you know, it's a real great brand builder for them. We're also going to see lots happen when the world starts to open up again. I think we're going to see a lot of sort of emotional marketing from them, bringing people back together, reuniting the world as travel starts to kick off again. So I'm a huge fan of airline brands. That's one of my big obsessions, is the, you know, airline advertising, airline branding, livery, all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to see what the airlines do in that regard to start to inspire people again to travel.
Very well said. Nikki, thank you for your time. This has been fascinating.
Thanks so much for having me.
Nikki Calvin, Director of Content for The Points Guy UK. My thanks to Nikki for sharing his story, and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.